And welcome back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. As scientists warn us about global warming and increasing levels of carbon dioxide, researchers at the University of Michigan are looking back thousands of years to try to understand what caused carbon dioxide levels to go up 30% after the last ice age 18,000 years ago. To talk about their latest findings, I'm joined by David Lund, an assistant professor at the U of M Department of Earth and Environmental Sciences and the lead author of a paper on the topic in the new edition of the journal Nature Geoscience. Welcome to the program, David.
Thank you.
Now, before we get into your findings, which have led to only more questions, can you generally tell me what we know about the patterns of the Earth's ice ages and how long have they lasted and how many have we had?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to kind of fill you in on some of the details. So one of the things that we know is that, for the past million years or so, probably 90% of the time, there's been a lot more ice around than there is today. So the last 10,000 years, the Holocene interval, has relatively warm, kind of equable climates with ice sheets close to the size that they are today. In other words, primarily in Greenland, in Antarctica. Now, about 20,000 years ago, when the ice sheets were very large, particularly in North America, we had ice sheets that were up to a mile thick, or even thicker in some places. And these are the ice sheets that were responsible for carving the Great Lakes, for example, creating Cape Cod, Long Island, etc. And so, this kind of picture of the world of where there's much more ice is a pretty good representation of how things predominantly have been over the last million years. And so, this is really the time of the ice ages, the Pleistocene ice ages.
So, what do we know about what caused these ice ages, and what caused all the ice to melt?
That's a good question. I think it's safe to say that we know that the primary thing that has paced the ice ages, in other words, kind of sets their fundamental period, that is, how often they come and go, is related to how the Earth's orbit changes. In other words, the axis of the Earth has the tilt of it will change on very long time scales, and it also has a wobble, much like a top, that's kind of losing energy, and that's also on kind of tens of thousands of year kind of time scales. And so those changes in how the Earth kind of moves will change how much sunlight it gets and how much energy it's getting from the sun. And we think that those things, which are determined by kind of astronomical forces, are the primary pacers of the ice age.
Now, your study focused on this increase in carbon dioxide levels of up to 30% as the last ice age was ending. But you're saying this release of carbon dioxide didn't cause, I mean, essentially the Earth's orbit caused the ice to melt. But then the release of the carbon dioxide, the question is, where did that come from, right?
So I definitely want to make a clear point is that the increase in carbon dioxide was intimately involved in the change in temperature as we came from ice age into this current interglacial time period. It's very clear that it had played a major role in helping not only warm the planet but melt the ice sheets. So what we're talking about is there are some key kind of amplifiers. So we think that there are slight changes in the Earth's orbit that would change the energy, but then that signal needs to be amplified, much like the signal that comes into your radio is amplified, right, so you can hear it. There are amplifiers in the climate system that create a much larger signal than would otherwise be there. And one of those key ones, one of the really most important ones, is carbon dioxide. Now, if you look at the records of CO2 in ice cores over this kind of last million years or so, there's a nearly perfect correlation between how much CO2 is in the atmosphere and the temperature of the Earth at that time. Right? It's a remarkable correlation. And this is one of the main reasons that we're, of course, concerned about carbon dioxide levels rising in the future, is because, first of all, we know it's a greenhouse gas just based on its physical properties. Second of all, because of this historical precedent or this prehistoric precedent that we can very clearly see in the climate records, shows us that CO2 is intimately involved in these climate changes.
I'm talking to David Lund, an assistant professor at the University of Michigan Department of Earth and Environmental Sciences. So, David, what are the theories as to what caused this huge increase in carbon dioxide levels, and what are your latest findings?
Good question. So one of the things, ever since the first ice core records were published, 30 years ago, scientists speculated that a lot of that carbon dioxide increase that helped warm the Earth at the end of the ice age must have been coming from the oceans. So you go back in time to the last ice age, when you know you had huge ice sheets covering Michigan and carving out the Great Lakes, et cetera, temperatures were much colder on average. Atmospheric CO2 levels were, roughly kind of 30% lower than pre-industrial values. And we think that that carbon, the idea was is that carbon was somehow hidden in the deep ocean and then released again as the ice sheets were melting back and accelerating that process. What we think we found is that it looks like there's not very good evidence that that carbon was, in fact, stored in the deep ocean. And without going into too many of the details, if that carbon were to sit in the deep ocean, it would have to be there for thousands of years, a very long time interval. And that means it would be old. In other words, we can look at the certain isotopes of carbon and say something about how long it's been sitting down there. And what we found is that kind of the age of the deep ocean, so to speak, during this time of the last big ice sheets is very similar to today. In other words, it doesn't seem to be a very good candidate as a place to hide the carbon.
When people talk about global warming, opponents, people that say it's really just a theory that's not really fully proven, and that really things like what you're describing, the fact that nature on its own terms raises carbon dioxide levels so dramatically, that they say, that really shows us how minimal the effects of our own human activity on the planet really are. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, and a fair one given this kind of natural variability. But what we know is that, that the natural state of affairs has been really disrupted significantly by the carbon that we're putting into the atmosphere. And we know that carbon, that increase that we see, for example, in the Mauna Loa record and some of these other kind of famous CO2 records, that very clearly, there's been this massive increase over the last 100 years. And we can tell by the certain kind of isotopes of carbon within that CO2, without getting into all of the details, but that is clearly an anthropogenic source. That carbon has been tagged very clearly by the fact that it's coming from fossil fuels, and so that is certainly not a natural source of the carbon. Now, I think if anything, what these past records tell us, these kind of paleoclimate records tell us, is that carbon has played a very important role in the climate system in the past. And yes, there are natural causes that cause it, to go up and down, which we are still trying to figure out. But that does not necessarily then imply that what we're doing is okay. Right? If anything, I see that question and say, well, that should actually make us more concerned, because there is such a clear link between shifts in very large changes in climate in the geologic past. I mean, remember, we had massive ice sheets covering a good portion of North America when CO2 levels were lower. And so I think, if anything, it tells us that the climate system is actually quite sensitive to these levels, and it's, if anything, should make us more concerned about this kind of unnatural balance that we've created.
Now, a 30% increase in carbon dioxide levels coming out of an ice age, how much of an increase have we seen in levels in the past, let's say, 30, 40, 50 years?
So from, say, the late 1800s, or kind of pre-industrial times, to today, it's gone up another about 120 ppm, so that's close to another 30% increase, maybe 25% increase, just in the last 100 years.
No kidding. You're saying we've seen the last 100 years the same level of increase that the Earth saw coming out of the last ice age?
Approximately, yeah. And so from in absolute terms, if you look at the levels that we have today, which are about 400 ppm, those are higher than at any time in the last million years, and that's very clear from the ice records. And even more importantly, the rate at which they're going up, the CO2 levels are going up, is just unprecedented.
At least
from what we can tell from the ice core records, and so it's not only the amount, right, but it's also the rate that is important. So the system is being pushed in a way that it's not used to being pushed.
So we're entering levels that the Earth has not naturally seen from what we know ever.
That's not true. But from what we can see in the last million or so years, from the details that we know from the ice cores, it's clear that the levels that we see today are unprecedented from that perspective.
David Lund, Assistant Professor at the University of Michigan Department of Earth and Environmental Sciences, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen, and you're listening to 1320 WILS.